Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cancer Now What Vodcast. I am so excited today to have Dr. Frank Tsai from Arizona Center for Cancer Care and the Virginia G. Piper Cancer Care Network here to tell us all about his work in the clinical trial space. Hi, Dr. Tsai. So good to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so I'm so interested in the work that you do because not only are you a medical oncologist with Arizona Center for Cancer Care and seeing patients at Virginia G. Piper Cancer Care Network, but you have a very specific interest and commitment in your career to research, clinical research. And I get questions all the time, and our audience is always very interested in what clinical research is and how to know if they can get into a study and if their cancer even would qualify for a study and is a study the better way to go. So I'm just so appreciative that you are going to take some time to talk with us today about this.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So why is it important? I guess really the first question I want to ask you is, what is a clinical trial? You hear about these things floating around in the world, and how is that different from regular cancer treatment?
Yeah, that's a good question. So clinical trials are a way that new treatments are evaluated for safety and efficacy, and it's a required process by the FDA to be certified to be marketed to the masses. With cancer patients now living longer and longer, they are looking for more treatment options and more hope. And clinical trials are a great way to find that.
Okay. So does that mean that you will have a drug company will come to you and say, we've got something here we think might help cancer patients. We want you to try it out. Is that how that works? Or, mm-hmm. or how do you get your hands on these experimental, and I don't even know if that's the right word, but mm-hmm. on these new treatments?
Yeah, so most clinical trials are actually brought by commercial companies. However, many clinical trials are also started by the investigators. They're called investigator-initiated trials. And so what that may look like is, on one hand, could be a brand new drug brought by a drug company, or it may be an investigator that observed some responses or signals and ask great questions like, well, what if we add that drug with a known current standard? So now that investigator can initiate a new trial.
It
varies quite a bit.
Okay, so then are you an investigator? Is that kind of a word that we would use to describe you?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I not only do I practice within Arizona Center for Cancer Care, I am also one of the researchers at the Arnold Health Research Institute. We know that 80% of America's cancer patients are treated in the community, and that's where most patients want to be. And I think a common mistake is patients think that you have to be at a significantly large cancer center for the most cutting-edge treatments. I'm talking about the Memorial Sloan Kettering's of the world, the mm-hmm. MD Andersons in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I think what Arnold Health Research Institute has done is to show that we can have cutting-edge clinical trials here right in our own backyards.
Oh, I love that. That's a really good point, Dr. Tsai, because I'm thinking back to, so as our viewers probably know by now, my sister had cancer, and when it was getting, you know, to the what do we do point, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the big question was, do we take her to one of those big, well-known cancer centers of the world for the best treatment? So it's really important, I think, for people to understand that you can get that level of care in your community and sure. that you're doing the work at a local level, the same work that they would get at, you know, a big cancer center. So that's sure. that's really important to understand. Thank you. So how do patients know if they are eligible for a trial?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, as you know, Jenny, navigating the healthcare system is one of the most difficult things to do, which is why we have navigators for our non-clinical trial patients. At the Arnold Health Research Institute, there's also navigators to help patients find the right trials, and it is very challenging. Most patients probably turn to a website called clinicaltrials.gov. It's a national registry that is required at the federal level for all clinical trials. But unfortunately, the registry tends to be, I would say, a bit behind on where the trials are. And so it is almost impossible for cancer patients to find the studies on their own. And which is why we tend to take a very hands-on approach, not just for the trials that we have. We look at our patients and say, hey, what other trials there are in other places if we don't have any studies.
Okay. So if the clinicaltrials.gov is not as up to date as it should be, how can a patient know that their physician has all the information?
You're right, that is very difficult. And what patients are doing these days is just calling different cancer centers and making appointments, try to find out what trials they have and what trials are appropriate. It takes a lot of time. Mm. We actually have a grant from the National Science Foundation as the official national clinical trial navigator at Arnold Health Research Institute. At that level, it's still a challenge. American Cancer Society has a nurse navigating system. And at the same time, there are still barriers that's yet to overcome, which is why I really enjoy my work where, as you know, Jenny, I straddled that both world where I'm seeing patients within the ACCC Virginia G. Piper network, and meanwhile still have access to the trials at the Research Institute. Mm-hmm. Just today, I saw a patient with metastatic colon cancer, and we were able to streamline his evaluation for trial because he was at the network side, and because we know of the trial within the research side, he came right over, and very quickly we were able to get him evaluated and get him enrolled.
Yeah. So it's a much more of a seamless process since you're also seeing standard of care patients in addition to having access to all of these trials.
That's correct.
That's awesome.
That's correct. And the reality is, I wish I can say there's a easy button that we can push, but here at some ACCC, my colleagues often call me to find out what trials we have. Dr. Joan Dahmer, Dr. James Choi from the West Side, they often call my cell phone and say, hey Frank,
I got
what trials do you have for lung cancer this week?
That's awesome, that's great. Yeah. So you mentioned what before we started taping that you're doing some kind of work in the software space. And I mean, I've got to imagine that, you know, AI and computers and all of that can help us somehow figure out how to match patients with trials. Mm-hmm. Is that something I know that's something that you're working on. Can you tell us a little bit about that work?
Yeah, sure. You know, we know that 70% of cancer patients are interested in clinical trials. And the most common reason clinical trials fail is from the lack of enrollment. Not because of treatment failure. Mm-hmm. They just don't find the patients enough to complete the trials. And so it's really important to be able to match the supply and demand. And so our perception is if you're able to fulfill that match in a timely way, there are opportunities to be harnessed. And so we are working on a project to more easily update the clinical trial status, as well as finding potential patients within our network, and in an automated way, help the research team to be more efficient.
It's amazing. So 70% of patients want a trial,
correct,
but we can't get these trials enrolled with enough patients to make them tell us what we need to know about cancer.
That's right. So
wow.
We know the studies show that the adult enrollment rate it's about anywhere from 2 to 5%. And if we look at minority patient enrollment rates, it's actually less than 1%. And that's really important because if we don't have the representing patients in the trials, then when the drugs go out to the market, to the masses, they may not really represent how the drugs would work in specific patients.
So you have to have enough patients in the trial to know if it's worth giving it to anybody with that particular type of cancer.
That's right.
Or if it'll work even. Because if only three people do better on it, that's not as telling as if 5,000 people do better on it.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So help me understand then, I want to make sure I get this right because I want to make sure that our viewers know, if they are diagnosed with cancer and they are treating with a medical oncologist, they get referred to a medical oncologist, is it the patient's responsibility to ask the physician that they're treating with if there is a trial available for them?
Yeah, so I would say, again, coming back to that whole navigation process, patients ask a lot of great questions, and I think that is one of the important questions to ask.
Good. Okay.
What are my options? Is this all the options I have? Should I consider a second opinion? And so I think clinical trial definitely falls into that category.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So does a patient have to go through a regular standard of care treatment before they're eligible for a clinical trial?
No, I don't believe so. Clinical trials can exist at various different points in a patient's journey. There are trials that are early in that journey, and there are trials that are later in that process. I tend to think about cancer treatment kind of like how we best sequence the treatment to get the best mileage. I don't play poker, but I think I know just enough to get me in trouble. You are handed some cards, and you want to play these cards to your advantage and stay in the game as best as you can. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't want to throw all your best cards right off the bat. And so to that end, having clinical trials is like the house dealing you with a couple of extra cards. They may not be the best cards in the world, but they may be something that can give you some extra options and stay in that game longer.
That's a great analogy. Thank you. That's really, really clear, makes it clear. So let me ask you this. Tell me, what made you want to specialize in this space, right? What made you, you're plugging along, you're going through your training, you decide on oncology, you're seeing patients. What sparks an interest in you in learning more and helping people through clinical trials?
I believe in it. I just do. I think having that extra option, having that hope, it's great for everybody. It's great for the patients. They get to have potentially lifelong treatments. It's great for future patients. Now you're developing more drugs. And it's great for the marketplace. You're creating more products for the community. And I think there's a lot of positive aspects downstream. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, people just need it.
They do. You're right. So are there any trials going on right now that you're particularly excited about that you can share?
So we have very much so. We have a couple of clinical trials. One trial is called Kodiak, and it utilizes a antibody that targets, it's a sting antibody. And they were able to design the drug in a way that it targets the cancer specifically. And so we're really excited to bring this type of clinical trial on board.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I can't wait to hear more about the progress that you make And we're all just so appreciative that you continue to do this work. And for anybody who's interested in more information in the work that Dr. Tsai is doing, you can visit www.arizonaccc.com. You can put in his name, Dr. Frank Tsai, and you'll be able to get more information.